Welcome to La Liga Weekly. Remember pre-season when we asked for predictions? Well, call yourselves knowledgeable football fans, and yet not one of you, not a single one of you, predicted that Álvaro Arbeloa would be this season's La Liga title-winning coach. How did you all miss that? Terry Gibson would never make such a mistake. Let me check the table. How's that Atletico Madrid title bid going? What on earth's happening with them? Why are they like that? And then 3 days later, they're like that. Explain that. We'll give it a go. My predictions were much more prescient. I said, and I'll read this, I'll quote myself, there will be some moments of refereeing controversy. Yeah, I think I nailed that one. I think they're playing some sort of game where once a month, they allocate a weekend where they're going to play with everybody's mind. Mid-February, let's say the middle weekend, prize goes to the ref who enrages and baffles the most people. Matias Almeida took it well and now faces a potential 10-match ban. His point was that there was no evidence that he'd lost his rag and was abusing the match officials. And that's exactly what he screamed in the face of the referee while refusing to leave the touchline. Brought some much-needed calm to the situation at Sevilla. Barcelona are adamant that Girona's winning goal should have been disallowed for Claudio Echeverri's foul on Jules Koundé. The referee missed it, and that's that. It's not like we can go back and look at some sort of video review system. I mean, a video review system would be a good idea, as long as they didn't end up taking 8 minutes to make a decision. Maybe they had a plane to catch. What a weekend, Terry. It's got the full range. It's got one terrible game. One game I sort of can't be bothered to go back and review. We've got... It's a weird thing where we have weekends where the refereeing decisions just seem to like weigh so heavily on top of everything. And you're sort of thinking, we should look, because there's been real movement. It's a great weekend for Real Madrid. Of course, they won a potentially difficult game comfortably. Barca then lost, so you know it's a real move in the title race. The two behind them, who we were kidding ourselves on, were in a title race a few weeks ago and are 50 points behind in the relegation battle with everybody else. But all the time, you're thinking, every one of the games are some kind of crazy refereeing. Can we talk about Almeida first, and then we'll get to the. Then we'll get to the football. Now, you've talked about this before, haven't you, where you think that the refs are too trigger-happy with those red and yellow cards flashed off to the bench. And Almeida obviously agrees, and he obviously had it in his head that this was a problem. And why are you sending me off? There's no evidence that I said anything. You didn't know who... Someone had shouted something off the bench. And that's why he lost his rag. But then he lost his rag, and his behaviour then was utterly unacceptable. And a 10-match ban is absolutely fine. He's got previous. He had a 4-month ban when he lost his rag, got in a fight when he was in Greece. His mind went, didn't he? He saw red, and his behaviour at the end was utterly unacceptable.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I have a degree of sympathy because the initial reason why he was dealt with by the referee was he jumped up in the air and went down on his knees and turned around towards his own bench. I don't know whether it was a refereeing decision or a mistake by a player. And then he walked towards the bench and then the referee came over and got involved and that's where that's when it all started. So I think he had a point in what he was saying. What have I done? What have I done?
Good. He was arguing that they should produce evidence. They shouldn't just come over and whack a red or yellow card at somebody. And if they you don't know, because presumably someone shouted something there. But he's quite, he has a point about that, but that doesn't justify then what happened.
No, and the referee's report actually says it was persistent as well. So perhaps it was one too many times. I don't know what his initial reaction was about. As I say, I don't know if it was a mistake from a player. Look, one of those, he jumped up, went on his knees and put his head in his hands, but turns then to walk back towards the bench. So that was one of those moments where I'm thinking the fourth official or the referee could just go, look, it's a difficult job. They're under pressure, these guys. I'll let that slide. He'll calm down. Then this wouldn't have happened. But that wasn't the way the referee dealt with it. And then from then on, he was adamant that he was an innocent party and He was aggressive with the referee. He was aggressive with, I think it was a delegate from Sevilla, the match delegate. They had match delegates on the bench. And he was pushing and shoving this guy who was trying to protect him from getting himself into more trouble. And at one stage, I thought he was going to chin the guy that was trying to help him. He was a big bloke as well, by the way. So I think it Almeida looks like he doesn't mind the fight, but this bloke looked considerably bigger. So I think it wasn't a good look, that's for sure. But it will result in a big ban. This big ban might result in him losing his job, to be honest. If Sevilla have got any appetite to make a change because of the season that they're having, we gave him credit at the start of the season when it was a tough job. Players leaving the club, not too many players coming in. We knew it was going to be a difficult season because they had a difficult season last year, and this season's squad probably is weaker. And we gave him credit then, but they're in trouble. 13th position, 26 points. They're not many points above the relegation zone. A couple of points. They're in the relegation battle. So if there is an appetite for change at Sevilla, and it's possible because you know what the owners are like, particularly at Sevilla, if there's any flak coming their way, they'll get rid of the manager, make a change, try and bring Kaparos back or something to rescue the situation. And that's not me joking. It's a possibility, because they once the protests go towards the club, which is the case, has been happening all season. But if it does get really ferocious, then they'll make the changes. So what's the point of having a manager if he's not going to be on the bench for 10 games?
Also, they are set to lose a lot of money if they go down, the owners, aren't they? Because the takeover, the people, the Ramos led or Ramos fronted bid are talking about reducing what they'll pay for the club, understandably, if they're in the second division.
So in a 10 game, if you're the owner, if you're president and the manager's going to be banned for 10 games, what we got 14 games left. It's I mean it's what's the point? I mean, I know he can take training sessions and he'd be sitting in the stand and trying to issue instructions through Eric, who I believe is also in trouble as well, because he threatened the referee as well at half time and said, "You don't worry, you've got to come back down this way at the end of the game and we'll have you then."
Yeah, so he's the assistant manager. He's
He's the
assistant.
assistant manager. So it looks like he could be in trouble as well. And it is an issue if he's got if he gets a 10-game ban and you've only got 3 or 4 games on top of that, then it's
Especially because it could take a week or two to get there, couldn't it? So by the time the ban comes down, it effectively could be to the end of the season when it's all up for grabs anyway. So
And I guess
and
there'll be an appeal process as well. So there might come a stage in the next 2 or 3 weeks that he's banned for the rest of the season. So you kind of can't blame Sevilla then if they think, well, we need a manager who's active on a match day. We can't pay a bloke for 5 days a week work and he can't work on Saturday or Sunday.
But not too active. Not as active as Almeida. Might as well
And
do
even
that
one
game.
who got sent off. I mean, the whole thing smacks of ill discipline at the club, doesn't it? One who gets 2 yellow cards in the space the first 16 minutes. He smashes up some patio furniture, which again reminded me of Gary Medel all those years ago, and I struggled to remember his name. He started smashing up objects around the touchline when he got sent off, and it was a clear second yellow card, no doubt about that. Joan Jourdain gets sent off as well,
He
who's an
wasn't even
Emery sub.
playing.
Didn't even come on. Wasn't didn't start. Didn't come on. He still had all the full tracksuit and everything on, and the bib when he was warming up. He gave the assistant referee some verbals. He got sent off. It smacks of ill discipline. I haven't seen anything saying that Almeida's job is under threat, but it must be. If that ban is coming his way, I predict that Almeida will lose his job. It'd be tough. It'd be harsh because we know the situation that's severe. But as I said, if you've got an inactive manager for the rest of the season that can't take part on match days, it's a handicap.
I'd have no sympathy for him. Honestly, you can't. Even if you agree with the initial point, you can't behave like that to match officials. In fact, always, because people always say that. Oh well, I only showed unacceptable dissent because the original decision was wrong. But you only ever show dissent when you think the original decision was wrong. That's the point of dissent, isn't it? No one, I only lost my temper because I disagreed with the referee. Well, yeah, no one ever loses their temper for agreeing with the referee. So it's a rubbish argument. They got a one-all draw
anyway.
It
went on for too long, didn't it? It went on for far too long. I think it was a 3-minute standoff between him being aggressive towards the referee.
Yeah.
So that's not a good look.
Yeah. Yeah, they got a one-all draw out of it, which actually, in the circumstances, given the red card quarter of an hour in, actually, it's not a bad result, is it?
No. And but against a direct opponent, Alaves were behind. They probably feel that they quite contend with the draw.
Yeah.
Away from home against Sevilla. So it's two struggling teams, and Sevilla, as I say, it's a big news story, them being down the bottom. Them and Valencia are the big news stories.
Yeah.
Teams in the relegation battle.
Yeah. Let's go to Monday night. So we're recording Tuesday because it was a big Monday night game. But we often say Barcelona, Real Madrid get involved on a Monday night, and they probably don't want to again, Barcelona, because they lost the game at Girona. And, funnily enough, Terry, a bit of refereeing controversy. So it was the winning goal, wasn't it? It was the Beltran goal late in the game. Every journalist, every Barcelona fan, utterly convinced it should have been disallowed. I would say, by today's standards, these are normally disallowed, aren't they? Because there was a clear bit of contact. I look at it, I think it didn't exactly clatter him, did he? It was a bit of contact on the foot. It's the kind of thing that if when players get sent off, you think, oh, the game's gone. He hardly touched him.
Yeah,
but to be fair, They're given now 99% of the time, aren't they?
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? Consistency and the procedure was poor last night.
Yeah.
It happened. The referee obviously didn't see it as a foul. I personally still don't see it as a foul, but I see it as a goal that should have been disallowed. If that, like you, it kind of makes sense that didn't clatter him. There wasn't any intent. He stood on his foot, basically.
Yeah.
And that happens. It's a contact ball. But when
they go into a challenge together. Yeah. Yeah.
When it happens now, it's normally, you know, given as a foul, it's normally overturned. Players get sent off for that type of tackle. We see the steal and we go, oh. And you look at the challenge and you think, well, he didn't mean it. But his foot starts to come down on the player's ankle or the feet, the boot. So I when I saw it initially, I didn't think it was a foul. When I saw the replay, I thought that's probably going to be disallowed. Mm. And it didn't. VAR was the culprit there. I think that's what it's there for, to help the referee.
It's a weird one, because the other day we had a discussion about the eight minute VAR in the Copa del Rey game. And we're thinking, oh, come on, this, VAR needed to butt out of that one. So I suppose what they've done is. Do you think VAR has brought it hasn't brought consistency, has it? Because this one, they're thinking, oh, let's not get involved, I guess, is what they're thinking.
And it was too important for that. I mean, every goal's important to every team, whether it's at the top, the bottom, or whatever. There should have been the consistency is that type of challenge is a foul now. So, in my opinion, I expected it, and Koundé just sat there. He did a Borja Iglesias. Just sat on the floor until it was forced to be looked at, and it didn't work. Mm. And we know that normally when the referee then gets called across the VAR, that he probably see it and think, in fairness to the referees, they might have the benefit of saying, well, I didn't see that, didn't notice it. Thanks. That's handy. Oh, it's a foul. Disallowed. They don't see everything. They're not expected to see everything. And VAR is there to assist them. So I was surprised VAR didn't ask the referee to go and have a look. I wished the procedure was referees still go and look and go, no, I'm sticking with one. But that does.
Yeah, the odd one of those, don't you? And everyone loves it when that happens, doesn't it? When the VAR stands up to the... So when the ref stands up to the machinery. Like Blade Runner.
But when you saw the steal, it's going to be a foul. In this case, it wasn't.
So that was big. Should we do the other? We'll get to the game. Eventually, we'll talk some football, everybody. But let's do the other, because you said to me earlier about the penalty. So the missed penalty, Lamine at 1-0 right at the end of the first half. There's encroachment. The new-ish interpretation of encroachment is that they can basically ignore it if they want to.
A grey area.
Yeah.
A grey area, basically, that doesn't need to exist. And it's, to me, it's Brian Hill. There's, we counted it, didn't we? It was three or four on the right side of the penalty box, two or three on the other side of the penalty box, but the ball doesn't go in that direction, so we count them out of the equation. But there's Lamine Yamal stutters as he runs up, which means the players who have set in motion to follow up on a rebound, they kind of stutter because he stutters, but they're all in the box. There's three or four players in the box. I think Frankie de Jong is the Barcelona player who's in the box. The rest are Girona players. And it travels towards Brian Hill and Frankie de Jong. Frankie de Jong leaves it kind of because he knows he's encroached, but I don't know why. I mean, he probably just wants the game to not stop, you know, to try and keep the ball in play. And I'm not sure if Brian Hill touches the ball. He flicks towards the ball. I think there was a slight touch, but I don't think it should be a subjective decision. And because what players are going to think now is, like, if I run in from an angle towards the side of the penalty area and the ball hits the post and rebounds wide, or the goalkeeper parries wide, then I might get away with that.
It sort of suits defenders, doesn't it? Because it's if Frankie de Jong had touched it and it had led to a goal, then you could, then it's obviously material. It's had a material impact. As a defender and you've encroached, you can sort of just leave it or something, or it's gone wide. It had gone a long way wide. It wasn't like De Jong couldn't have just slammed it in.
It was an attack and it wasn't a shooting opportunity.
Yeah.
But I just think, I'm being pedantic, the foul throw-ins, the goalkeepers kicking the ball out of the penalty box when they're a yard outside the box and they've still got it in their hand. The countless foul throw-ins per match, every match. And I just think that if the rules, the laws of the game are there to be adhered to. And as I say, players are now going to think, well, if I run down the middle and I touch it, that might be a retake. If I'm at the side of the goal, I might get away with that. And so that was, it's not hugely controversial because not a lot of people spotted it. And then suddenly it was found. And you think, that does have a point, actually. It should have been a retake.
It might have been. Shall we talk some football?
Terrible penalty, by the way. It wasn't a great penalty, was it?
Not when he hit the post.
But it was like quite a casual. It's the people debating whether Rafinha normally takes them. Why didn't he take it? They're saying that the friendly behaviour between the two, with Lamine Yamal asking for it and Rafinha letting him have it, costly to Barcelona.
I mean, but you can, I mean, you can overanalyze a football match. He missed it. So, he shouldn't have taken it. Well, because he missed it. Barca's performance in general. So what? They've lost two games in a few days. Got absolutely mullered in the first extraordinary game that we discussed with patrons the other day. I saw a stat. They've scored 9 of their last 112 shots, Barcelona, which isn't good. But they've also managed to concede 6 goals in 2 days, and you know, been broken on 112 times in 2 games.
Oh, Garcia got man of the match last night.
He made some amazing, the double save, and then the other save where he stretched out his leg. He made some brilliant saves, didn't he?
And you, the shot total last night was 23 shots from Barcelona, 4 on target.
Yeah,
numerous shots are blocked. Most of them come from Fermin Lopez, who's brilliant at shooting from distance, but he's got to pick the right times, and he's over enthusiastic sometimes with his attempts on goal. A lot of them do get blocked, and you think when he's lining up to shoot, you're thinking, it's going to get blocked. So they're the blocked attempts, which count as an attempt. 4 on target out 23 is nowhere near good enough. They were complacent from the start of the game again. Lamine Yamal probably, I mean, including the penalty, should have had a hat-trick in the first half. Mm-hmm. He goes through one-on-one and tries the little dink. There was one of his, the first chance was his trademark finish. The ball rebounds to him nicely on the edge of the box. And he wraps his foot around it and hits it past the post. Rafinha missed one past the near post, hits the post as well. So they could have been 4-5-0 up in the first half. But at the same time, it could have been, if they'd taken all their chances, it could have been 4-3 at halftime. Because Girona still had chance after chance after chance, and hence the reason Joan Garcia was man of the match. So there is issues there. It's been a terrible week for Barcelona. I mean, the 4-0 against Atletico, losing last night to a team they should be beating. But I think they have this complacent attitude, and it is a problem. Hansi Flick's team selection, and you know, it's a difficult one with no Pedri, but he's choosing at the moment in games where he thinks, and I think this is the reason, he thinks they'll win and they'll score goals. And if they, he probably backs his team to score more than the opposition. He's going with De Jong, Olmo, Fermin Lopez. And so you've got two kind of number 10s in the midfield and just one midfield player. And I think that probably is a little bit of a problem with the
wrong balance.
Yeah. Mm. And it does mean that there's the potential. So probably, I mean, Eric Garcia is now playing centre-back. He seems to be the chosen one ahead of Gerard Martin. I think if they can get Araujo back to his best, I think he joins Kubasi at centre-back. And there will be games where Eric Garcia can play the whole. He does that job. And when he was playing in midfield, as the whole midfielder, he was plugging those gaps. And he was you know, denying those counter-attack opportunities from the opposition. So with the three kind of attacking midfield players, I know Frankie Dion can play holding midfield, but he's creative. They are easy to be got at with those that type of midfield setup. And Girona, a not good team. They're underachieving. They've got good players. When you see the starting lineup week in, week out, you think, why are they struggling? It was never going to be an easy game. It's a derby match. The facilities, the stadium, always favour the underdog. And Barcelona just thought were complacent. And it is an issue. And I think Lamine Yamal, it's debatable with Ferran Torres and Lewandowski, who starts up front. And I think for Lamine Yamal, I think it's imperative that Lewandowski starts.
Okay.
Because I think Lewandowski keeps him in his place in terms of instruction, in terms of, you know, giving the right advice, maybe criticising Lamine Yamal if the crosses don't come into the box, if the service isn't sufficient. Whereas I don't think Ferran Torres does. And I think Lamine Yamal, then Rafinha could, but he's on the opposite side of the pitch. He can't really influence Lamine Yamal. But I think there was an element of Lewandowski, you know, having a word with Lamine Yamal during a game and saying, because there are times when you're thinking, you've gone for the golden moment. That would have been better if you put the cross in earlier. You've tried to beat one player too many, something like that. And older players are more demanding. And Lewandowski is more demanding. When he's not there, the menu mold kind of gets carried away a little bit. It's so I think clearly there's issues. It's been a bad week for Barcelona, a terrible week. And losing last night is a massive blow.
Yeah.
And it's allowed Real Madrid the 2-point gap.
Yeah. So one thing.
And Girona are good. As I said, they've got the players.
Yeah.
On their day, they can be a good team. And last night, it was a really competitive match, as I expected.
So before we leave this one, what I should point out, we're criticising the referees. Also, I've said this before, I'll say it again, the players are also arseholes. Because Joel Rocca, the red card, does not, it actually chops Lamine in half, doesn't he? So,
involved as well. So, it was all or nothing. He wasn't going any further, was he? Lamine Yamal between them. But Rocca just lashed out wildly and deserved the red card.
So it's not, also, well, let's move on to Real Madrid, where Real Madrid get two penalties. And again, Real Madrid penalties, and everyone goes, Real Madrid penalties. I mean, don't go diving, don't go flinging yourself into tackles with Vinicius when he's running that year in the penalty area.
There's three penalties in this game, isn't there? And they're all penalties, obvious penalties.
Yeah.
Housens was a wild lunge as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's two young defenders that got to learn. You can't go to ground in the penalty box. And there is an element of the week before when their last game when they played Rayo at home, they were diving about all over the place, Mbappe and Vinicius. So whenever there is an element of people can use that to say, oh, it wasn't a penalty, but they were penalties. I mean, and I was, on the first one, I held back. I thought, is this another one of the dives from Vinicius? It didn't look obvious. I mean, it looks like a penalty appeal from Vinicius. When you see the replay, it's a foul. And then not to learn your lesson. Aaron Beru is a really good player. He loves that one-on-one challenge. He played really well recently against Nico Williams, where he pretty much won every duel between the two of them. And but he has to learn. I mean, he's 22, 23. He's relatively inexperienced in La Liga, second season. But he has to learn that you can do those tackles in certain areas of the pitch, but you can't do them in the penalty box.
Yeah. Anywhere on the pitch, you're fine. Give a free kick away. But if you're tripping a bloke who's running at you quickly with the ball, then, you know, it's stupid, isn't it?
I think he barely gets a touch on the second one, but it's a scissor movement that his legs clearly bring down Vinicius.
Yeah. General performance sans the injured or sort of injured Mbappe. But I mean, it's a good score, isn't it? Because we've been full of praise for Real Sociedad in recent weeks. Been brilliant, haven't they? So, you know, it could have been tricky and they won it comfortably.
Yeah, it wasn't as comfortable. They won it comfortably because of the way the scoring went.
Yeah.
I didn't think there was an awful lot of difference between the two teams. I think foolish penalties given away by both teams. From Trent Alexander-Arnold showed them, I mean, they would talk about the return of Beckham because of the passing, the particularly for the first goal for Gonzalo Garcia.
Yeah.
All those things we know that he's 9 out of 10. You know, that's what he does. Defending is the topic that we're going to be looking at in the future in the bigger, tougher games. I don't have an opinion one way or the other, to be honest. Apart from his England matches, I didn't see too many of Liverpool. I want to make up my own mind rather than listen to what everybody else says.
I love the hyperbole, though, because it went from a couple of weeks ago they were selling him and it had been a failure, and then he has a good game, and you know, and he's like, he's Beckham and Zidane and Figo all rolled into one.
Exactly. And at his best, he's almost a player that you kind of have to mark if you're the opposition. And unfortunately for Real Sociedad, they chose to play, and I get it why they've played a lot of games recently, and a lot of the matches are consisting of the same 10 or 11 players. And they had the Copa del Rey match against Athletic Club. They picked up one or two with knocks and injuries. Players are tired, so he had to rotate, and he chose, he kind of was forced into it, playing Wesley on the left. There's no Taki Kubo, there's no Baron Acher. Geddes was running on fumes after the Copa del Rey match, and he picked up a knock. So Wesley, it was tough on him. He's a 20-year-old Brazilian. He's new to the league. He only signed in January. It would have been more suitable to have played him at home against Alaves rather than start him in his first game at the Bernabeu against Real Madrid. Likewise, Yangel Herrera started as well. And that was the balance that was out of sync. The left-sided attacking player, another attacking midfield player, was recently they've been playing Gorichiteki and Torrientes in midfield, who are similar, really good. They give him a good platform to work from. Suddenly you've got Yangel Herrera, he wants to race forward. You've got a left winger that doesn't track back and he's not giving Trent Alexander-Arnold anything to worry about defensively. Wesley was brought off at half-time. And there was a period where the players weren't giving him the ball. They were looking up, seeing he was available, but choosing to go elsewhere because he kept giving it away, slipping over, losing possession. So the scoreline was comfortable. I mean, it went Gonzalo Garcia gets an early goal, or Oyarzabal gets a pretty rapid reply. And then Vinicius with the penalty. And you're thinking, oh, that's Real Madrid going to cruise away now. And Valverde gets a wonderful goal to make it 3-1. You're still thinking the way the game was going, if La Real get a goal back in the second half, it's going to be, it was a convincing performance from Real Madrid. And then Aaron Baru gives away another penalty. So before you know it, it's 4-1. So then it become comfortable. Further changes made by Real Sociedad, which meant that Oyarzabal, we can bring him off now. We're out of the game. It's not going to be. So it wasn't as competitive as we expected. And Real Madrid keep doing what they're doing. I have a theory about Arbeloa.
Go on.
He needs to keep quiet with his press conferences. That's the only thing I can blame him for. He's, and I think there is an element. He is calming down. And I kind of get the excitement from him as getting that job. He's in the spotlight all of a sudden. He's come from the B team. He's had it that 6 months. And he's managing one of the biggest clubs in the world. And he got carried away. And this is not a major criticism of him. But the less he does and the less he says, the better. He is turning into that manager of Real Madrid where I've got good players. Just trust them. Get on their right side. Don't mess around with it too much. Kind of smacks of Zidane and maybe Ancelotti. Whereas Xabi Alonso came in and wanted to be proactive and wanted to change this, wanted to change that, then had to retreat because they wouldn't do it. And then he kind of got caught in no man's land because he tried his ideas, but they wouldn't take them on. And kind of when you see Arbeloa, he doesn't get carried away when they score. He doesn't get carried away when they don't, when they concede. And it can kind of just be there was a film many years ago called Being There. I don't know if you've seen it, with Peter Sellers.
I'm aware of it, yeah.
Where everybody thought he was a butler, I think, and he was so quiet, but everyone thought he was wise because he didn't speak a lot. And when he did speak, everyone thought, oh, and started, like, he had this reputation of being this wise man. And it kind of, with Arbeloa, I kind of feel that the less he speaks, the wiser he looks. And that's in the press conferences and maybe even with the tactics. Because you've got a chance. If you're manager of Real Madrid, you pick the right players and you keep the tactics simple, which was a criticism of Ancelotti and maybe criticism of Zidane. And that's why everybody was looking at Xabi Alonso and thinking, oh, he's going to change everything. And because he tried it and didn't work, then it kind of looks a little bit humiliating when you have to revert to trying to be Ancelotti and Zidane and not be too...
Yeah. Great. Having said that, they didn't have to sack Alonso. If they go on to win the league, it will be, Florentino got it right. Literally, if Arbeloa is to win the league, I think Xabi Alonso would have won the league. They weren't that bad.
No, they were adrift to Barcelona, who has always been touching distance for the first dozen games of the year. They were top until that defeat against Atletico Madrid. They had a bad month. Then they were the two or three draws and a defeat at home to Celta. There wasn't a need to sack him. I think we agree on that. But I just think if keep calm if you're up below. Just, you know, don't complicate the players. Don't complicate it with the press conferences. And just be, you know... And he has that element of calmness about him when you see him on the bench. You know, even in the cup match against Albacete, he was looking calm as anything. And they get knocked out by a second division team, but no expression on his face. And it's just, he could just be... successful, but just be normal.
Anyway, let's just hang fire because they play Benfica again tonight. The goalkeeper could score a hat trick, and they could be could be sacked by tomorrow.
And Jose at Real Madrid again.
Yes, yes. So we'll find out against a manager who's not renowned for keeping his gob shut. another manager who rarely keeps his mouth shut, Diego Simeone. Terry, right? What explain the last couple of weeks of Atletico Madrid, where they thrash Betis in the cup, lose to them in the league
3 days later.
Yeah, they thrash Barcelona, absolutely thrash them in that first half, and then get Rayo Vallecano 3, Atletico Madrid 0. What on earth was this?
9 changes.
Yeah,
in both fullbacks played. In both games.
Yeah.
So it was a weird game. I mean, we have to talk about Rayo in the context of this result.
Yes. Well, so it's at Butarque, for one, we should mention, which is not their stadium, of course. Yeah.
A bit, but it's 12,000 capacity. It was barely half full. Mm. So you're Atletico Madrid, you're, and also Rayo have been, I don't know if people are aware, using Getafe's training ground as well. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not even training at their own training ground. So all this has gone on with Rayo. We wasn't sure whether the game was going to be played, where it was going to be played. And it kind of felt like Atleti when they turned up. I saw the coach travelling towards the stadium. There's no one there. It's a stadium that stuck out in the middle of main roads and everything. And it must have felt different for Atletico going to a neutral stadium that's going to be very little support in the stadium.
Why? Why don't Atletico Madrid fans buy tickets?
I think there was... you still got to buy them through Rayo.
Right, okay.
Rayo are one of the two or three teams that haven't adhered to this agreement that maximum price for away tickets is something like €30. So I think Rayo were charging 80 to 100 to 120, 150 euros a ticket for Atleti fans. But I did make that... I asked that question because if this was Man United playing at a neutral ground against someone like Crystal Palace, And I actually had it when I was at Wimbledon. At Sellers, we were playing at Sellers Park. We'd left Plough Lane. We were playing at Sellers Park. If we were playing Blackburn, there'd be 7,000 people there. If we were playing Man United, Arsenal, Spurs, Liverpool, all the I was going to say Chelsea, Man City, but they weren't particularly big back in, and they weren't one of the big guns that back then. It'd be 25, 30,000, and there'd all be opposing fans. So I kind of expected that that might be the case for Atletico, but it wasn't. So I think that I'm trying to find reasons and excuses for Atletico. And then when the game kicks off, it's a lethargic start from Atletico Madrid. There's nine changes. Yes, they have a wonderful squad, but there was an element of players playing in this game thinking, well, I'm not playing Wednesday against Brugge. I'm not in that team. I've got the ump because I'm playing. Sorloth looked like he had the ump. Jimenez at the back looked like he had the ump. Even Oblak was slow at the start of the game. He nearly got dispossessed two or three times early on, and they just never got going. As I say, there are players in that nine changes that, I mean, Johnny Cardoso and Rodri Mendoza in midfield, you're looking at them and thinking, well, Cardoso hasn't been playing, so it's a good opportunity for him to get a game under his belt. Mendoza, likewise. Clement Longley barely plays, so try and impress, try and get yourself back in the team. Likewise with Jimenez as well. So there was motivation, sufficient motivation for a number of the players. Nico Gonzalez hasn't been a regular, so, you know, have a good game. Make the manager think about playing you in the bigger games. Thiago Almada is another player who hasn't really established himself yet. We don't know where his best position is. Alex Baena might have been thinking to himself, well, I thought I was in the strongest 11. Obviously, I'm not. So when you look at the bench that was on the bench, the players that are then going to step up and play against Bruges on Wednesday. So it was kind of, and then we heard Oblak afterwards saying, we can't pick and choose our games, but they are.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
It's all or nothing in the Champions League, and it'd be all or nothing in the Copa del Rey. And he said after the game, that's it, our league title race has gone.
Yes.
Well, we all knew that anyway.
Yeah, we know that, Jan. Yes.
Yeah. But he was kind of putting an official seal on it that's it, we're out of the race now.
Yeah. We've got to finish top four, though.
Exactly. And we'll come to Betis.
Yeah.
In the moment, we come to Villarreal in the moment. That would be the next thing. I mean, they should go through in the Copa del Rey semi-final, but we never know what to expect from Atleti. In my opinion, they have a team on their day that can win the Champions League. I think they're a better team than they can be a better team. Well, they can be as good as Inter Milan last year. And Inter Milan got to the final. They got smashed in the final. But when I look at Inter Milan last season and other seasons where Inter Milan have got to the late stages, I've always looked and thought, well, Atleti are as good as Inter Milan, but they just haven't been able to put the runs together. They could in the Champions League. They should go through against Barcelona, but there's work still to be done despite the 4-0 lead, because if you can lose 3-0 to Raya, it's a problem. Raya were fabulous. Didn't look like a team that had won one game in 12, scored six goals in those 12 games, playing in a neutral stadium, barely any support, training must be an absolute shambles. Inigo Perez, it must be a tough old job. He's still in his 30s. He'd done fantastic last season, but the club's a shambles.
Yeah, maybe they're better on a decent, it's a nice pitch, isn't it, Butarque? So maybe,
They deserve to win that. They were really good. And you look at them and you think, well, why are you struggling? You know, they've got good players, good manager. Just been a poor run of form, dragged them into the relegation dogfight, but they were fabulous. Atletico were woeful. Even when the changes came on, you know, some of the big hitters came on. Llorente came on, Lookman came on, Julian Alvarez came on, Lenormand came on. But he must be, another one, must be thinking, well, actually, it's Hansko and Pubil who are the two that will play against Brugge. Is it Brugge?
Brugge is the official UEFA designation.
I'm getting Brugge. And
Brugge.
They're playing against the Belgians on Wednesday. so it'll be Pubil and Hansko. And in this game, the two centre-halves were Longley and Jimenez. And Lenormand was still on the bench. So that shows the strength in depth. I mean, and
Yeah,
they've
so you
barely
should
had any injuries.
it's no
That's it.
excuse.
Everybody's been fit. That could be the only thing you can say about Simeone. He's used the squad well because he's avoided. I mean, Cardoso's had a blighted season through injuries, kept
Yeah.
every bit, but they're not challenging
Yeah,
in the
13 points behind second. So
exactly.
you use the squad all you like, rotate or rotate it, but you're right, but you've forgotten to say in the title race.
Exactly. So it was, yeah, really
Yeah.
important. But Atleti, they could win the Champions League. They could go out against Brugge. They could lose 4-0 against Barcelona and it goes into extra time. Or they could smash Barcelona again. They can win the Champions League. It's the real, the inconsistency is consistent.
Yeah. Getafe beat Villarreal by 2-1. So a good result for Getafe. Blow though for Villarreal. They're not winning the title, but I never really believed that they were going to, even when the table sort of suggested they could. But again, they've also got to make sure that they don't tail off second half of the season.
Yeah, like similar to Espanyol. And Getafe, back-to-back wins. The signings they made in the transfer window have done the trick. Satriano's one of those centre-forwards I talked about from the week before. Luis Vasquez is the other one. I didn't think they had the players to survive. Suddenly, with the transfer signings in January, they look as if they do. And they look like Getafe at the moment. They didn't until these two new players came in. Two powerful, muscular, physical centre-forwards. They suddenly look like a borderless Getafe team again. Fortunate penalty with the first one, I think. That's Vega is it's a slight pull on the shirt. The referee
Yeah.
did, but Aaron Barry smashes the penalty in. Satriano gets the goal. Wonderful strike from Bikatadze again. And not only
Yeah.
that, injured two defenders. So yeah, happy days for
Yeah.
your centre forward. And they weren't fouls. But yeah, that'd be a blow for Villarreal. I think Villarreal were the recipients of Getafe winning the week before Alaves, the new players coming in a month ago, this would have been a more comfortable game for Villarreal. But Getafe suddenly look like they're going to be safe and they look like a borderless team again.
Yeah. Betis beat Mallorca. It's a good win. This I know Mallorca are struggling in the relegation zone, aren't they? But still got to be won. Abde got the first. Bakambu wound the clock back with a kind of Bakambu goal, wasn't it? It's really sharp in the penalty area
Yeah.
to get the second.
I'm surprised he hasn't played more this year. And there was an element that he was third choice. They played one up front and he'd become third choice. So Cucho Hernandez is clearly the first choice, rightly so. Chimi was getting ahead of Bakambu. And then Chimi picked up an injury. Bakambu's got an opportunity. And I've always liked Bakambu and he looked really sharp. I mean, he's in his 30s now, but he looked really sharp. He looked like he's still got a lot to offer Betis. I'm really enjoying the performances of Betis recently, I have to be honest. And they have a possibility of catching the top four. I love their travelling support. I mean, when they scored the goal, you couldn't see it. The camera didn't focus on it too much. But when they scored, when Abde scores the first goal, there's a really loud noise come from the Betis fans. And I know people in Spain when I speak to when I'm out there and they say there's a lot of Andalusians that live in different parts of Spain, so it's easier for them to travel. But I'm kind of thinking now that there might be some, but I think the Betis have got travelling support now.
Yeah,
And
we
it's,
talked about this the other day
yeah.
because Henry, the Osasuna fan, and one of the Patreons, had been away to Celta Vigo, and he said it was better than it had been, and the ticketing was better. So, and the ticket price wasn't ridiculous. Still get treated variably, and it's still a very variable picture of how facilitated away fans are,
Yeah.
and you and I agree. Coming from the English, I'm not trying to culturally appropriate, but sometimes you can learn from other people's setups, can't you? And Tapiwa sent us a message saying they could learn a lot from the Bundesliga. If you're looking at a fan model, La Liga could, there's big improvements to be made, and looking after away fans is a big one.
Definitely. I mean, the price of the tickets, I mean, it's a big country, so it's difficult to travel. And in the case of Mallorca, it's on an island. But if the ticket prices are right, and that culture will develop, and it has been for the last 3 years now, it's been getting with Betis in particular, it's becoming a feature, and every now and then you get reminded of it, you know. If and hopefully there's not too many stadiums in the future that are built where refurbished, where the away support is stuck up in the top corner behind a big plastic shield or behind netting. where you can barely see the game. It needs to be more friendly towards the away fan, and that will enhance La Liga if you get a travel ball.
Yeah,
and kickoff times don't help as well.
Yeah, and the lateness of confirming games as well.
Yes,
because it, you know, it's quite a big country, but it does have trains and planes. You can travel, can travel around it, but you need a bit of time to get yourself sorted, don't you? And hotels and whatever. Marici should in a losing cause, but you know, this is a team in the relegation zone. He's got 16 goals.
I know. The problem is, he's the only one that scores goals on a regular basis. Now, we've seen Osasuna do it in recent years. We've put him here doing pretty much the same as well. Every time I see Mallorca, I think they'll be all right, but they're in the bottom three. Start of the season, when me and you were saying they've had a tough start, first five or six games have been tough, and it's just never got any better for them.
Yeah, they had a tough fixture list, didn't they? But the trouble is, perception becomes reality, doesn't it? You lose a few games and you start feeling like a losing team, and they've never got out of that and done a bad job for it.
Now they're in the bottom three.
Yeah, yeah.
They're this week's participant in the bottom three. Oviedo, Levante, they're pretty permanent. They have been permanent.
Well, should we talk about Levante?
On a weekly basis, it changes who's in the bottom three.
Because Valencia, it's a really good win for Valencia, isn't it? Big game, of course. A 2-0 away win. Second half goals, Ramazzani, lovely goal, I thought. And then Sadiq, really? I was happy that it was allowed. Didn't think it was a foul. Just big fella being strong, isn't it, I think?
Yeah. Ramazzani was good. I mean, this was a tight game. It changes when the subs are made by Valencia. Javi Guerra in particular came off the bench. He came off along with Sadiq just before the hour mark. And that changed the game. The first goal, it was a lovely finish from Ramazzani, but the whole build-up was great, wasn't it? Javi Guerra picked it up on his own penalty box, drives forward, plays the ball out wide. There's a ball down the channel for Sadiq. There's a skillful back heel, and then it goes into Ramazzani, fed into Ramazzani. It sits up lovely, first touch, sits up on the volley, slices across the ball into the top corner. Fabulous goal, really was. And then when Levante were throwing everything at it, long ball downfield, Sadiq uses his physical strength. Kind of a weird finish, though. Everybody just stopped, didn't they? I know it was almost the last kick of the game, and he's through on goal, and we're out, we're done. You know, we're beaten. Even if he misses it, we've lost. And he smashes it past the keeper, and new signings might help Valencia.
Yeah.
And it's a big win. Massive blow for Levante.
There was still time for a red card, though, wasn't there? Arriaga sent off for clapping the referee. It's just one of these ones where it's poor classroom management, as you'd say, isn't it? It's the player shouldn't do it. You now know you get sent off for sarcastically applauding.
Exactly.
But also, the referees need to be less fragile about that. I mean, it's totally different from having a bloke scream in your face. You could ignore that.
Yeah. And the referee, he clapped to another teammate of Arriaga, as if to say, he did the clapping. I had to do it.
Yeah.
And then Arriaga might be in more trouble because as he walked off after being sent off, he just kept clapping.
Yeah. Should go to prison.
Yeah. Well, and when I said the weirdness about Sadiq's goal was that they gave up at that point. The sending off was in the 95th minute. Sadiq's goal was in the 84th minute. So it was almost like it was weird. I don't know whether they believed it was going to be disallowed for a foul. But almost Levante stopped chasing back. They allowed Sadiq all the time. They were to smash it past the keeper, who made a token effort to save it anyway. And then when you see the sending off, it's like 10 minutes later. It wasn't conclusive that Sadiq scores and that's it, the game's finished, it's out of reach. So, yeah, that was a weird ending to that game, but fantastic from Valencia. Cobra, a much-needed win.
Espanyol 2, Celta Vigo 2. Now, I'm not quite sure who's happier with this. Both teams that had been flying could do with the result. It's not the worst result. We do have to discuss another referee decision because it's crazy referee weekend. So, I don't know, who's happy with the 2-2 draw between these two?
Probably Celta. You're away from home against a team that are top six.
Yeah.
and Celtic were behind, and they scrambled a late equaliser to get the draw. Tyree Stolen, congratulations on his first La Liga goal. Didn't know that was his celebration. Looks pretty spectacular, didn't it? It was a couple of somersaults and a backflip. And this is not a criticism, Manolo Gonzalez, but he's clearly the most, even including Almeida, clearly the most emotional manager in La Liga. We've seen him cry when they've won. We've seen him cry when they lose. He goes absolutely berserk when they are scoring their goals. And you kind of feel in this situation, the play, everyone gets worked up because he's so worked up, so excitable. And it kind of played into the hands of Celta, because the anxiety in the stadium coming from the manager running down the touchline and punching his own chest and gesticulating to everybody. And you know, it's quite enjoyable to watch. Everyone's different. We're all different. But there is an element, I think, in this situation where if he'd have been a little bit calmer, his team might have been calmer. So when they do take the, I mean, he believes it's the winner when Dolan scores in the 86th minute. And what you probably needed was a manager to say to his team that,
yeah,
calm down,
focus,
use our heads.
Yeah.
And they got too emotional as well, and they allowed Borja Iglesias the opportunity to equalise. So kick it, what a goal that was.
Yeah,
that was an anger. A goal out of anger, wasn't it? A violent anger goal. Holding off defenders, knocking them about, and then turning and smashing it with real violence into the top corner. So that goal's a fabulous goal. As I say, getting his first in La Liga.
Do you have a strong opinion on the disallowed goal from Borja when he was on the floor?
I think it's offside, yeah.
Do you? Because I think...
Isn't he?
He's offside, but the crucial thing was, I thought the VAR showed that the defender poked the ball backwards. So therefore, I don't know why he would... It doesn't matter that he's offside.
Yeah,
the ball was played by the defender, and it just seemed to be like, well, hang on, why are they still looking at offside then?
Is it a grey area again if it's intentionally played back?
Yeah. So if it's not, so I guess that's it, that they've said he hasn't intentionally played it. But he does. He sort of stabs his foot. It's not the intent, yeah.
I mean, we need to eliminate these grey areas.
But it's hard, though, because...
It used to be like that. It used to be if it came off the defender, you weren't offside. And everyone understood that.
You ended up with a situation where it was flicking off a guy's shoulder accidentally and, oh, well, he's onside. He said, no, that's not what it means. It meant the original, it's not offside, was like to stop people... playing back passes, and you know that was the idea. It wasn't that you try to, because what happens is, you know, the guy that you say should happen more, where the centre forward deliberately stands offsides and waits for play to catch him up. If now a centre back tries to make an interception, not now, a couple of years ago, if the centre back tried to make an interception and it just flicked off his knee and went to that guy, he's onside. So they then said, no, it's got to be a deliberate play. And I think that was right. I just think this was a deliberate play. I think he deliberately stabs his foot at the ball. And so therefore, it doesn't matter if Borja's offside. But anyway, in the scheme of the week's refereeing decisions, it's probably not the massive. Athletic Club got a 2-1 win away to Oviedo. So Oviedo were leading. So it's a real blow to them, isn't it? They haven't got enough points to be losing games.
No, and this was a nervy game for Athletic Club, because when Oviedo are leading, you're looking at the table straight away and thinking, oh my goodness, if Athletic get beat in this, it climbs Oviedo closer to everybody else. And Athletic Club would have been on 28 points. They would have been in the thick of the action. Suddenly it turns around the second half. Harry Guizzo sends out of a penalty, and suddenly life looks a lot easy enough for Athletic Club. The 31 points. I mean, we were just discussing where is the cut-off, who we included in the relegation battle. Where does it stop? Where does it start? And we're not including Athletic in it at the moment. I mean, 7 points clear of the bottom three.
Yeah. It's basically a bit early to be drawing a line, I think, isn't it? Because, we're only two-thirds of the way through the season.
I'm looking at the teams that are above that line that we are predicting, and they're pretty good.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Osasuna, Real Sociedad, points wise and not a million miles away from it, but both, I think we'd be agreed that Osasuna would be okay, Real Sociedad will be okay. One or two others that you won't get dragged into it. It's Athletic is an obvious one. I think they're, but we can look at the rest and go, Osasuna 30, they're 6 points clear. Atafe, 5 points clear, but they're going in the right direction. Girona 29, I think they'd be okay. They've got good enough players, manager's good. They should be all right. Sevilla 26, Alaves 26, Valencia 25, Elche 25, and Rayo 25. We're slipping down the table as well. That's where it's going to be interesting. They're all playing each other. They're going to be playing each other. There's always going to be 6 pointers like Sevilla Alaves this week, for instance.
Yeah.
And then occasionally we'll get a Rayo 3 Atletico Madrid victory.
Which makes it, I think, quite a high bar again for. You hope. Levante, and Oviedo don't get cut adrift, because I want the relegation battle to be wide open. I don't want it to be a battle for one to avoid one place, which it's in danger of being. Elche nil, Osasuna nil, Friday night. Elche haven't won since December 21st. Big problem, isn't it? We were full of praise for them, but they don't finish chances.
Both teams. This was a really good 0-0 draw. As good as you'll see, it wasn't a drab game. Both teams were guilty of missing chances. Both played really well. Some good football played. It'll go in that category. It was a forgettable Friday night fixture, but it weren't. It was a really good game, to be honest.
Yeah.
So, but it's a worry that Elche are playing well and still not picking up points.
Yeah.
And suddenly we're looking at the two of the promoted teams already in the bottom two and Elche sliding. Whereas I thought Elche were safe, but they're clearly not now.
No, nowhere near, are they? So this week, Levante Villarreal, I think it's been played, isn't it, Wednesday, as a catch-up game. And then tonight, there's Benfica versus Real Madrid and Club Brugge. Must get that right, everybody. You'll be saying Bruges. We catch anyone saying Bruges on air, Terry, we'll be furious.
Or Bruges. I just made me own one up. When did that change?
Well, it's either it's dual language, isn't it? So you can say the French version, or you can say the Flemish version.
And so Brugge is Flemish.
Bruges is French, and Brugge is the Flemish version. And okay.
I've never heard anyone say it was a popular city break at one stage, wasn't it? Going to Brugge.
It still is. Yeah,
I never heard anybody say in my life that I'm off to Brugge for a weekend.
Yeah, there was a film, wasn't there? There was quite a good film, Gangsters, in Bruges. Was it called in Bruges? Was it called in Bruges? It might have just been called
in Bruges. Ah, see, there, Bruges. Yeah. It was Bruges.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't called in Brugge. Yeah. So we're giving film tips, Terry, which is not an area of our expertise. As everyone watching this will be thinking, what are you on about? stop talking about films. You don't know anything about films. That's a good point. We'll be back to chat with Patreons. And then we'll be back with another round of refereeing craziness. Actually, no, next week's refereeing will be fine. That's how it works. It'll all be calm again next week. And we'll be able to talk about the football without constantly debating with ourselves.
Perhaps next week we'll make up another name for another team in Europe.
Yeah.
And see if we can start the trend.
Yes. Right. Enjoy your football this week, everybody. And we'll see you shortly. Bye-bye.